Hello and welcome to That Sports Gamer Show, episode number 30. As always, I am your host, TJ Lauerman, and alongside me is my co-host, Scott Binns.
Hello, everyone.
And sitting right in between both of us, theoretically, is Games Radar's own Rich Grisham.
All right, let's do it.
Guys, I'm so happy to be here.
it is seriously an honor for me to do a podcast with Rich. I mean that.
Oh, please. That's very nice of you to say. Very unnecessary. I love talking about sports and games, and you two are my favorite guys, so it's a good situation.
Yeah, suck it, Mike Susick. So, let's just kick it off with a little game Scott played the trial of, that I will never play the trial of because I'll never buy a Kinect, Fire Pro Wrestling.
Oh, you don't need Kinect.
I don't need Kinect?
This is not a Kinect game.
They've been telling me for like 2 years that I need Kinect.
Wait, before we go there, you just said you will never buy Kinect. Like, you will absolutely positively never buy Kinect for any reason whatsoever.
Unless it's like a bundle that's cheap.
Okay, so then it's not never. Just wanted to make sure I understood you there.
Okay. I will probably never buy a Kinect on Xbox 360.
Okay.
That might be interesting. All right.
I probably never will either, but I don't think I've ever been quite so certain about such a thing as opposed to just not really planning on it. But anyway, I digress.
But that's also like when I play on a computer, people are like, oh, you just click this. I'm like, no, you just click. It's not just one thing. Yeah, I want to hit Y, up, down, left, and not just say cornerbacks come in, which I'm sure that doesn't even work. I'd probably have to say like coverage press.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Believe me, I'm with you.
And then Jim Nance calls a timeout for you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Actually, so, the only game I would ever want Kinect for would be NBA Baller Beats.
Okay, but, so Fire Pro Wrestling.
So I don't actually need Kinect for this?
You do not need Kinect for this.
Well, then I'm going to turn my Xbox on now and get this.
And buy this.
Well, I only played the demo. First off, I dislike that it is called Fire Pro Wrestling. Now, I was well aware of this game's existence for a couple years now. But
isn't it like an old school Nintendo wrestling game, or am I getting that wrong?
It's an old school Japanese Super Nintendo. Right. It started on Super Nintendo.
Okay.
And it's been on Dreamcast, it's been on PlayStation.
Started the N64 stuff, right?
No. Mm. No. Not directly anyway. They're not from the same company. But it was like the game in Japan, maybe before the virtual pro wrestling games that did become the games that we have in the States. Fire Pro Wrestling has only had, I think, 3 US releases, 2 on the Game Boy Advance and 1 on the PS2.
Did you ever play any of those?
Yes, I have all 3 of them, actually.
I have one of the Game Boy Advance ones, and it's probably the hardest game I've ever tried to play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fire Pro has been a very difficult game. It's a very difficult game to learn, but once you learn it, it's the most amazing wrestling game you've ever played.
So it's not like Othello?
No. Fire Pro Wrestling on Xbox Live Arcade is none of that, despite the fact that at some point one of the game developers said that it was everything you've come to expect from Fire Pro Wrestling, which is really nothing you've come to expect from Fire Pro Wrestling.
Interesting.
So that is my gripe with the name of the game, but I will look past that. I will look past the fact that this is not a true, Japanese professional wrestling game. I can look past that, at least for the name. And what it is it is a wrestling game based on the Xbox Live avatars. You wrestle as your avatar.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like the idea.
Can they play poker in the middle of this?
No. But it is tied into that whole Avatar Famestar thing. Mm. The trial version, you can play like 3 matches in kind of a tutorial. They changed a few things up. For one, there's actually a grapple button. Fire Pro hasn't had that. And I think to beat the lag, like when you initiate a grapple, you then press any one of the 4 face buttons to do a move, and your opponent tries to guess what button you're going to press. And if they guess right, they counter the move.
That's kind of cool.
It works out, and it's kind of like online lag proof, which is nice.
Now, are there real other wrestlers in it, or is it?
No, it's all fake wrestlers. Although there's some. I didn't, like, they were all fake made up, but there's some that are influenced by real wrestlers, I think, that I saw. Actually, the only thing I really saw was there's like a mask that's like obviously based on Rey Mysterio's.
Yeah, because I remember on the Game Boy Advance game, they would have like Anonymous M was Kane and Klebo was Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, they all had weird names, but it was, you know, it was obviously them.
Yeah.
None of that in this game. I didn't see too many of their fake made-up wrestlers, but they all looked like avatars wearing stupid clothes, which is kind of my next gripe with the game. So they give you all these wrestling outfits, but they don't go just on your avatar. Like, your avatar wears like a muscle shirt, like a Halloween costume.
Interesting.
So let's say you want to like give your guy a tank top. You're not just giving him a tank top, you're giving him a tank top with muscles, like as a shirt. It doesn't even match your skin color. It's kind of, yeah.
Good thing they only had like 3 years to work on this game.
Yeah, that's the other, this game has been like in existence for quite some time. Yeah, it's really dumb. In the ring, it's really simplistic, but it works. And I didn't have anything wrong with it. I'm kicking around the idea of buying it. But
it's only, 800 Microsoft points?
Yeah, $10. 800 Microsoft space bucks. I don't know. It wasn't the greatest thing I've ever played, but there's some redeeming qualities to it.
Will we have fun if we spend $10?
I don't know. I haven't made that determination yet. I haven't played enough, and I only played the trial. And the trial makes me kind of go, I'm thinking about it, but I don't know. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Interesting. All right, you can play the $10 online. And then let me know.
You can play online, and you can have tag team matches. The tag team matches seemed really, you know, didn't really seem all that tag teamy. It was more like, oh, you can tag out, and now your other guy has more stamina or something like that.
Interesting. Rich, are you interested in an Xbox Live wrestling game?
It's not a very good time of year for me to be venturing outside of the already full plate of sports games that there is right now. So
there's that too.
That's almost over.
In fact, I've gotten into NHL so much that I downloaded my FIFA, season ticket preview, and I played a game, and I went, it's FIFA, it's really good, but what can I do in this weekend then, since I'm not going to buy the game? And I just went back to playing NHL.
You could have played some pro clubs with us, Scott.
Hey, I will do that if I get the chance. I will gladly do that.
All right, so let's keep talking about wrestling. How's that sound? WWE 13 is going to include King of the Ring tournament and I Quit matches.
All right, both things that have been in the games in the past. Although the King of the Ring actually sounds like they're putting it together better in other years, where it's not necessarily just, you know, tournament mode.
Mm.
There's actually going to be a little cutscene where you actually get coronated as king. So, I guess, you know, it is basically dressed up tournament mode. That really never should have left the game, if you ask me. But I want to be able to do this online. Like, you know, here's 8 guys, throw us in a bracket, and then just let us go for, you know, an hour or whatever it takes. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think it would be nice.
I remember doing that in Dead or Alive on the, might have been the 360, or it could have been even just in the original Xbox. Obviously, that's a fighting game. It's a different thing, but there was a lot of fun just getting, like, you know, 7 or 8 guys in a room, and you just battle and move up the ladder and you wait to see and everybody can watch what's going on. I don't know if that's exactly the same thing going on here, but those kind of things are very cool, very social, and, you know, a cool way to hang out for an hour with a bunch of people who like the same kind of game.
Yeah. When it comes to video games, I kind of consider wrestling games to be fighting games.
Yeah. I'm in the same camp.
Yeah. The I Quit match, it sounds like they're going to do it a lot better than it's been done in the past, whereas in the past it was a glorified submission match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were always fun.
Yeah, although maybe it's now it's just an even more glorified submission match. Except there'd be like mini games where you can try and get your guy not to say I quit and stuff. But.
Yeah, apparently the quitting scenario is a challenging mini game. The difficulty, which can be affected by both the quitting combatant and winning opponent. It's probably just if you hit X and then I hit X, it cancels out.
Who can hit X faster or something? Or maybe it's like a golf meter, you have to hit it in a certain spot. I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm going to withhold judgment until I actually play it, but I'm glad that it's there.
You know something else that I'm glad that it's there?
Hmm.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD on the PC. I know Scott has completely stopped playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
I have.
Rich, did you ever even pick it up?
Not the HD remix, no. I have played them. It's been a long time, but I played them back in the day. But just never really kind of wanted to get back into those games. For a couple, 2 or 3 years, I was really into them. It's been a long time since those couple, 2 or 3 years.
I discovered through the HD version that I'm the exact same way. I was totally into them like when they first came out, maybe through like basically through the numbered games. And then I stopped caring.
I don't know. Thug and Thug 2 were pretty good.
Oh, it's not a question of whether things are good or not. You know,
it's more
I mean,
you've changed.
Yeah.
I've definitely changed. You know, and, you know, people talk to me about this stuff all the time, right? Like, I'm deliriously happy playing football and hockey and baseball and basketball. And it's the same kind of thing on a regular basis. Like, it's not like all of a sudden in this year's basketball game, the rims are now 20 feet tall and, you know, everything's different. No, you know, but I'm just, for some reason, you know, major sports sims and arcade sports games are just the things that I love to do. And that's never changed. But, you know, I used to love Halo and I used to love Medal of Honor, and I used to love Sim City, and like, you know, for whatever reason, just those kinds of games, I play them now and just I'm instantly bored. And
yes,
and that's kind of where I am right now with the Tony Hawk and really just kind of, you know, skateboarding games in general. Not saying the games aren't good, great, or whatever, but I'm just not feeling it these days.
Yeah, I like it for that every once in a while when you have something in the tray that you don't really want to play, but you just want to play something kind of quick. So I'll go in, run a couple of things, and get back out. But I like the idea of it going on to PC.
Yeah, it's definitely a good idea, and there's definitely a market for it.
I think it would be very hard to play on PC without having a gamepad, though.
Well, yeah, but you just plug your controller in there. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of people forget is you take a Xbox 360 controller, plug it into a computer, you're rolling. So,
assuming your Xbox 360 controllers aren't all wireless.
Yeah, that's
well,
my
problem. Yeah. I have an old creaky. All of my video game machinery and hardware is old and creaky these days, but I have an old creaky 360 controller which has the plug, so I've been able to use that on occasion when I need to on my PC.
Yeah, I think I have an old PS2 controller to USB adapter.
Oh, yeah, that's what I use. I use my my PlayStation controllers. Someone has a driver out there that you can hook it up USB and play.
Yeah.
That's good. But I'm excited. I hope that they didn't, like, lock the game super down so that people can actually go in and mod, like, new levels and stuff into it.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Would be really cool.
Yeah. That's why I'm excited for it on PC.
That's a lot better reason now. I'll give you that. That's awesome.
All right. I think we talk about the most anticipated game of 2012.
Sure.
Yeah, man.
NBA Live 13.
Yeah.
Rich, you're the pro. What do you think is going to happen with this game?
I think it will be released before the end of the year. I think it'll be a digital download. I think it'll be $20.
Like Christmas Day?
I don't know. That's actually
Christmas.
That's a good idea. I mean, you know, sometime around the holiday, because that would give them another couple of months to try to bring it up to a state that they feel is good enough
to salvage it.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this game. You know, if you read like Pasta Padre, for example, he seems to think that, you know, cancellation is worse than releasing a game. I kind of feel like if you've got a decent basketball game that is $20, that's a pretty good idea to go ahead and put it out there. And I know that I would buy it just because I'm, you know, that's kind of what I do, right? I just love big time sports games no matter what. I'd also buy it because I'm just ridiculously curious as to how this game is going to play. you know, it's like I won't spend $20 on something I know is bad most of the time. But even if this game is bad, I'll drop the $20 just to experience it. Because, you know, let's face it, there have not been really any flat out bad sports licensed simulation games. You know, it's been a while anyway. Maybe the MLB 2K series would be one that you could point to. But other than that. So, you know, the pure curiosity factor, I can't wait to see what happens. But, yeah, I'm calling, you know, $20 comes out this year, digital download. You know, they might throw some discs out there as well, but I think it'll be heavily aimed at digital. So that's what I think will happen.
See, I thought, just from playing the demo of NBA Elite 11, I didn't get that whole Andrew Bynum is Jesus thing. I thought that game wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
what about you guys?
I didn't
play it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I never did download that demo, which I wish I had.
I did download it, and then I never played it, and then I deleted it.
Yeah, the deletion is what you should never have done.
Yep.
Because it was one of those things where it came out a week before. Like, I actually rarely do download sports game demos for a couple reasons. Number one, my hard drive is so full. Like, you know, I don't have one of the super large, you know, hard drives. But number two, I'm typically going to buy the full game anyway. So unless I'm really chomping at the bit for the game, I typically just don't do demos. Not always, but sometimes. But anyway, I remember when the demo hit, it was only about a week before the game was supposed to come out. So that's another reason I didn't download it. And then when I started, you know, hearing the stories and seeing the fury about it, by that point they had pulled the demo from the marketplace, so I never did get around to getting it.
Well, I have really good news for you, Rich.
What's that?
On eBay right now, NBA Elite 11, PS3 copy, $61, 3 bids, 7 days left.
You know, that's for, as a artifact of sports gaming history, that's a pretty darn good price for that.
Yeah.
But if it's got 7 days, how high is that going to go?
Yeah, I want one just to have.
I do
one.
Too. Yeah, I do too. I didn't even think about that, but now I want one.
Yeah, every once in a while you can find like a poster for like $20 or $30, or I've seen a lot of like lanyards with a little like NBA Elite thing on them.
You know, it's funny. I remember very distinctly. I was commuting to work with a guy at the time, and he told me that. He walked into the store and saw that there was an NBA Elite coming from EA Sports. This is way before the demo came out or anything like that. And he just pre-ordered it sight unseen, just expecting an EA basketball game to be very good. And I think what a lot of people forget or don't even realize is that the vast majority of people who play sports games really are not that aware of a whole lot of stuff going on. They just, around the time the game comes out, they walk in and they see the label of EA Sports and they assume that it's good. And to a lot of people, that is really good.
See Madden 13, franchise mode outrage.
Exactly. So, you know, there's I think if EA put out a basketball game, I think the fact that NBA 2K13 is so difficult to so many people, I still think that if they put out a basketball game that works to a degree and is simpler and more accessible and $20, I still think, and again, I could be losing my mind, but I think that's a decent recipe to get them back in the game.
As long as they have Ultimate Team in there. Gotta make that money.
I'm not going to say you're losing your mind, Rich, but I am going to disagree. I just think they can't deal with a juggernaut that is 2K13.
I think the problem with 2K13 is it's too hard for new people to get into it.
I can agree with that because that's one of the things I don't like about it.
Yeah. I think all these games are so big. They are so intimidating for me. Like, FIFA intimidates me, and I'm, in theory, a paid professional sports game journalist, and it's intimidating to me. You know, somebody.
I don't know how to dribble in FIFA.
Just left and right. I can't fancy dribble in FIFA.
That's what I mean. I can't dribble around a guy to save my life.
You just got to hope you're faster than him.
I mean, it's an issue with all sports games, and I think NBA 2K it'll be interesting this year because it is so big. There's so much going on. They've got that My Career mode, which is such a different and or what appears to be a different and fresh take on a single player career mode. And you know, they've got the game. The controls are so, there's like 10 levels and layers of controls to that game, which are so, you know, so befuddling to so many people. It's a lot of those games are tough to get into. So, like, one of the things, like, NBA Live is supposed to be very accessible. It's supposed to, frankly, do a lot of the stuff for you. Like, basically, instead of you trying to necessarily have to determine exactly who you want the ball to go to when you pass it, it'll help you pass it just to probably the right person, and that person might even start cutting to the basket so you can score an easy bucket. Like, things like that are supposed to be in the DNA of the rebuilt NBA Live. So, you know, again, I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, but I'm not also ready to I'm not ready to be doom and gloom on NBA Live if they have an attractive price point and a game that could be significantly more accessible to the masses, which are really, you know, they're called the masses for a reason. They make up the vast majority of the sports game buying and playing public.
Yeah, I will give it a chance. You know, I'm all over it.
No matter what, I'm all over it.
I also have my sort of bias that I don't like basketball very much. That doesn't help me either. I've gotten into basketball games though, but I love NBA Jam.
Well, we've had some rocking good times on NBA Jam.
We should probably play more NBA Jam.
There's never a bad time to play NBA Jam.
That's NBA Jam and Tony Hawk are the same for me now. If I get bored and I got a couple minutes and a game I don't want to play in the tray, it's NBA Jam or Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Two good choices.
And good thing, we'll get to find out how NBA 2K13 plays tomorrow, if you're listening to this the day it releases. Or September 25th.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Tuesday, September 25th.
Now, this is a demo I will be getting right away, as soon as possible.
It's a little disappointing, though.
Last year, NBA 2K12 was my sports game of the year, and I just love the game so much. So I can't wait for this year's. Super excited.
Yeah, the demo has the Oklahoma City Thunder and Miami Heat.
That's awesome. That's great. Love those. Two fun teams to play with.
And you can do 1v1 quick games with random opponents. Amazing. Oh, no commentary?
Awesome. Like online opponents.
Yeah. But it's only 1 5-minute quarter.
That's all right. It's a demo. And it's no commentary, no problem. That's fine.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with no commentary.
It'll be interesting to see because one of really the only problems of the gameplay last year was the passing. Passing was difficult. It didn't always go to who you wanted it to, and passes got intercepted a lot. And that was supposed to be one of the major focuses of the gameplay this year. So I'm very interested to see how the passing has changed. Because, you know, other than that, I had no issues whatsoever with it. That's why I rated it so high, and it was my game of the year. But I did talk to a bunch of people, and even myself, to a degree, had some problems with the passing.
You want to see how the skill moves work now that they're moving it onto the right stick.
Yeah, there's whole underlying architecture change of the controls, which will be very interesting. Very interesting.
I think that could be the thing that gets me back into it, because it's like dribbling in FIFA for me. It's like I have no clue how to beat a guy one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I mean, I remember pulling off the coolest things. Like, I remember there was one online game I was playing, and I was playing like in a team up game, and I got the ball and I was LeBron James, you know, with like 10 seconds left in the game, and I was at the top of the key, and I pulled the right trigger and I flicked the right stick back and forth, and then I moved forward, and LeBron James pulled off this unbelievable double move, and then Tom dunked for the win. I have no idea how I did it, but it was absolutely one of the coolest moments I've had in a sports game in the last few years. It was amazing. The fact that there are people out there who know how to do that is pretty cool. I want to be one of those people one day.
Yeah, I highly agree.
I hope that I can do that on command in 2K13.
Oh, yeah, nice.
We'll see. So what we're going to do now is take a little break. But before we do that, I'm going to ask our favorite part of the show, the trivia question. Are you both aware of who Homestar Runner is?
Yes.
No.
All right, Rich. Homestar Runner is a Flash animated internet cartoon series. It mixes surreal humor with references to retro pop culture, notably video games, classic television, and popular music.
I like all of those things.
Thank you, Wikipedia, for that perfect description. Homestar Runner, if you don't know, was actually... comes from... This is the creator's talking. It actually... The title, Homestar Runner. It actually comes from a friend of ours. There was an old local grocery store commercial, and we lived in... I won't say the name of the city. And it advertised the... I won't say the name of the team. It was like the blank hit home runs, and you can hit home runs with savings here. And so there was this player named the trivia question answer, and they said something like all-star, can't say his position, for the can't say his team.
this is the hardest trivia question ever.
And our friend knows nothing about sports. And so he would always do this old-timey radio impression of this guy, and not knowing any positions in baseball or whatever, he would just be like, Homestar Runner for the team, I won't say. And we were just like, Homestar Runner, that's the best thing we've ever heard. All right, so the question is, who is that guy talking about? And his name is Homestar Runner. So, let's take a little break and hear the Extra Life commercial that everybody loves. Don't forget, October 20th, Extra Life.
Do you play video games? Do you play a lot of video games? Turn your passion for digital entertainment into life-saving support for kids at the Children's Miracle Network Hospital right here in our area. The 5th Annual Extra Life Video Game Marathon is coming up on October 20th, 2012. Now it's time for gamers to make a difference. Extra Life is just like a run or a walk or a bike event, except you never have to leave the comfort of your own living room. Just sign up online at extra-life.org to register. Then get friends and family members to sponsor you for about $1 an hour. On October 20th at 8 a.m., you play any games you want, on any system you want, for 24 hours, or as long as you can. What's important is that you turn your Xbox, PlayStation, PC, Wii, or even your phone into urgently needed support for local kids. Find out more and sign up to play online at extra-life.org. That's extra-life.org. Play games. Heal kids. Extra Life. This message is made possible by Children's Miracle Network Hospitals and this podcast.
All right, and as you heard, October 20th, Extra Life. You guys excited for me to play video games 24 hours straight?
I have got to ask how that's even physically possible.
A lot of coffee.
I mean, you got to get to go to the bathroom at some point.
Well, yeah. But if you got to do number two, you got to bring a system with you. It's the rule in the house.
Just grab your Vita, and there you go.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Remind me never to borrow his Vita.
Hey, man, keep it clean in there. We're playing a lot of Hot Shots Golf recently.
Oh, what a great game.
Here's my problem with the Vita. I can't get my games in and out. I actually keep, like, I have an anniversary card from my wife in my side table next to my bed. So at night when I have to switch games, I have to, like, use the card to get under that little notch to get the discs out.
It is yet another great reason to have a digital-only Vita. The only problem is you got to spend a ridiculous amount of money to get a memory card to have all the games so you can just tap on them.
And then all the games are full price.
Yeah. I mean, I have probably six games on the Vita, and they're all the chips. You know, I don't have them digitally downloaded. And it's a problem. I mean, it's not a big problem, but it's a problem. Because swapping those out is a pain in the neck.
Yeah, I think even MLB 12 is still $40 in the PSN store. It might have dropped to 30, but I got mine for 20. So,
suck it, Sony.
Yeah, Sony kind of sucks recently. Let's not lie.
Do handhelds right.
Speaking of baseball, which I didn't actually give you the hint that it was a baseball player. So Homestar Runner was named after a baseball player. Obviously, I guess home run would kind of give it away, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think baseball was the maybe not the obvious guess. Maybe not correct, but sounds like it anyway.
All right. Well, let me give you a little extra hint. Well, this might give it all away. Homestar Runner was brought to life in Atlanta in 1996 by two University of Georgia students.
Okay.
So based on the hints, all-star second baseman for a team most likely in Atlanta, Georgia. Rich Grisham.
Right, well, it wouldn't be Dan Uggla. So we're talking 90s. Who was the second baseman for the Braves in the 90s? I can't even remember.
I'll give you a hint. He had awesome glasses.
Who the heck would it be? I don't see. I hate the Braves so much.
I know, because they're so much better than the Mets.
Yeah, they just literally, especially in during those years in the mid 90s, they just demolished the Mets' hopes every single year. So I pretty much put them out of my mind as much as possible. I mean, I know their pitching staff was, you know, Glavin and Smoltz and Maddox and those guys, and you know, Chipper Jones was at third base, but I just cannot remember for the life of me who their second baseman was. It wasn't Boone, was it? Wasn't Brett?
No,
Boone,
that was
right?
Later. Yeah. That was later. Okay. Born in Utica, New York.
I'm stumped.
This is before my baseball life began.
Oh, you guys. This guy also tried to come back as a pitcher throwing a knuckleball.
Nope.
He didn't make it. Come on, guys.
Don't know.
You don't know Lemmer, Mark Lemke?
Oh, Mark Lemke. Yeah, I wouldn't. I would not have gotten that. He was an all-star? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, man.
I am surprised by that. I wouldn't have gotten him had you given me 100 attempts.
Well, first off, let's go to Baseball Reference and verify this. He was... No, their commercial is completely incorrect. He was never an all-star.
I was now okay. I feel a little better because I remember Mark Lemke, and I do not remember him being an all-star. So I feel better about that now.
Well, who was a better second baseman in the 90s? Nobody.
Brett Boone.
That was after.
Oh, Brett Boone was in the 90s,
like the late 90s. If that, let's see. Brett Boone started in. Oh shit! Brett Boone started in 1992.
Ah, yeah. There we go. And I'm not even looking at the internet.
Rich wins again.
He played for the Mariners and the Reds back then.
Yep.
And the Mariners again. Look at that. He only played one season with the Braves. 20 home runs. I thought he was a lot better.
Brett Boone was not that good, but he did have a couple of big, you know, years that were probably influenced by other, you know, non-naturally generated materials.
2001, he hit 37 jacks, 141 RBI, and hit 331.
And he was also, like, in his mid-30s and had never done anything, like, close to that before, I don't think.
Yeah, he was 32, had never hit more than 25 home runs, never had 100 RBI.
Right. And then all of a sudden, magically, in his, you know, well into his career, boom.
Are you calling shenanigans?
I am calling shenanigans, sir. I am.
Completely separate topic. Aren't you guys happy that Melky Cabrera took himself out of the batting race?
Yes, I am. I think that was a classy move for a guy who's in a tough spot, and he didn't have to do it. So, yeah, I think I am.
Run this by me. What happened, huh?
You know who Melky Cabrera is?
I'm mildly aware of this.
The Milkman Delivers.
Melky Cabrera was he was a player for the San Francisco Giants who was caught doing some sort of
performance-enhancing drugs. Yes, okay, I remember that now.
And he was one at bat shy of qualifying for the National League title, but the rules in baseball stipulate that, you know, they could add a at bat to his total that would still count. Long story short, he could have claimed, even though he was suspended for 50 games, claimed that he won the batting title because his batting average was better than everybody else's. But he took himself out of the running.
That is a classy move.
Yeah. I would have no problem if he would have, like, won the batting title this year and then got busted later. Like if some guy like would have won the MVP and then got busted for something.
Yeah, I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming.
Like, that's fine. But if you get busted in the season, can you really argue with that?
There's so much that is nebulous about all of this stuff, you know? Just so much. And baseball is making the rules up as it goes along.
Yeah.
Basically, the way it is, we never should have known anything about Ryan Braun, is what from what I understand. Like, it was some sports writer got wind of it and said something that he shouldn't have, or someone somewhere said something that they shouldn't have, and it all should have been taken care of without anybody knowing
Look,
about it.
I just know that if I ever get in trouble, I want Ryan Braun's lawyers for working for me. I guess you make a lot of money in Wisconsin. Hire good lawyers. Also, Prince Fielder, way good. Good thing you got out of there. So, FIFA or NHL? Scott Bins.
NHL.
Ugh.
Sorry. I've actually been playing NHL for the past week. That's pretty much all I've been playing for the last week.
Did you know this is the best NHL has ever sold?
I'm not surprised.
Week one, worldwide sell-through, which means to the customer, I believe, up 9%. Over 350 online games of NHL 13 are being played every minute.
There's a lot of reasons I love NHL, but one of the reasons I love NHL is that you can play two or three games in a nice, tight amount of time. You don't have to dedicate an hour plus to get one game in.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised so many people are playing so many games online.
There have been over 50,000 connected careers started. Connected GMs. Why do they all have stupid different names? GM Connecteds. The hell's a... All right. Yeah, GM Connecteds, I guess we'll call them.
Yeah.
Ours is going great. Love everybody in the league.
Me too.
But we need to advance. That we need to advance one of these days.
Well, if TJ and I could ever figure out a way to play our bitter Rangers Devils game, which we will as soon as the show's done.
Then yeah, some Scott guy wanted us to record a podcast or something.
Well, someone's got to get up early.
Well, then we should get this podcast done as soon as we can, so that you can go play your game. We can advance the week, and I can go to bed.
All right, listen. During the first week, the Rangers, Flyers, Penguins were the most used teams.
No surprise.
No. Over 3.7 million online games. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Fans have scored, as of this reading, which is September 20th, so a couple days old, fans have scored just under 5 million goals.
Wow.
You know, it's funny, though. I was looking at that. The math is pretty tough on that. You got over 3 million games and only 5 million goals. There's a lot of 1-0 games in there.
It's hard to score.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah, I wonder if that's only the one-on-one heads-up things or EA Sports HL.
I've kind of stopped trying to aim anywhere at the net. I mean, unless, like, you know, it's an obvious shot.
Top corner, just rip.
Well, yeah, but, you know, sometimes you got to try to get a rebound. You know, it's not every shot has to, you know, basically try and score, basically, is my new theory.
Well, what's interesting is what I've found is if you are trying to skate and shoot at the same time or skate and pass at the same time, you're not going to be successful. So you need to stop skating if you're going to shoot or you're going to pass. But then if you're going to aim, that's going to make you start skating again.
Yeah.
So it's like aiming, you really got to do it at the last possible instant. Otherwise, you're going to start skating, which means your shot or your pass is going to go wildly awry.
That's why slap shots are the best, because once you wind up, then you won't start skating again.
Well, the goals that I see scored the most, and, you know, obviously I'm only, you know, using my own experiences, particularly in the games I play online against humans, are shots that are taken, slap shots by a defenseman at the point that wind up in the goal, either bouncing off of guys in front of the net or just getting past a goaltender. Mm-hmm. By far, the most goals against me are scored that way.
Yep, same here.
Which is strange, because that was rarely the way that goals would be scored in previous versions. A lot of the goals that would be scored, or a lot of the goals that I would score would be, you know, skating down the right wing, passing the puck across the crease to the, you know, guy who would tap it in on the open side of the net. You know, probably 25% of all my goals in NHL 11 and 12 were scored that way.
That is a lot harder to do in 13.
Oh, yeah. It's virtually impossible.
Thank God.
I don't mind that, because online.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not even complaining either. It's okay. It's actually a good thing.
Yes.
But it's also, I've had to learn a completely new way to play the game, which is, again, good. But boy, it's so good. There's just so much I love about this game on the ice. I don't even know where to start. But
pretty much where I'm at, too.
I just love how the skating is so legitimate. You know, like if you got a full head of steam going in one direction, you lose the puck and the puck goes the other way, you're just
bye. Just wave goodbye to it.
See you in a couple minutes, because this is gonna take me a while to get turned around.
Well, unless you've got a guy who's good at that though, and then you can just stop and start skating a different direction. And meanwhile, the defender waved goodbye to the defender like he did the puck, because he can't turn around.
And I love how when you are a speedy offensive man, like if you're a speedy forward and you get to gather the puck and you can get past the defenseman pretty quickly. Unfortunately, it seems like all the defenseman has to do is just get one inch of his stick anywhere around you, and then you get knocked down or lose the puck, but at least you can get by him.
I have seen a lot. It's a lot easier to take a hit and like just bounce off it and get back to the puck. Like the defender will commit to you, and then he'll knock you off the puck, but he can't recover to get back to it,
right?
Unless he's got a teammate or something. That's nice. Skating backwards is probably one of the biggest. Skating backwards with the puck is not to be, you got to use it. It's really good. Yep. Gets a lot of positions.
I've got to start doing it more often, where I've got the puck behind the net and then I skate around to try to get in front, and then I pull down the left trigger so that I'm getting myself properly angled. I've only done that a few times. There's a lot of little nuances to this game that I really know that I need to get better at, and that's one of them. Another one is trying to get the glide and then move a little bit to the left or to the right, not straight, so that I can get a tighter turn radius so that I can get better angles. Like, that's definitely something I need to get better at. But I just love how random the game is. Like, I mean, you'll have moments, you know, of a minute or two where the puck will just be kind of bouncing around because guys are just getting knocked off the puck and left and right, and like there's not a lot of offensive flow for a minute or two here, which is very much like the real NHL.
There's
the puck still is, it's not a magnet, but there's still a lot of magnetic moments, but there's less of those magnetic moments in where, you know, you'll pass the puck to the to one of your teammates and he won't be able to gather it right off or something like that.
You pass it too hard. Skips over the stick or something.
Which, again, happens a lot. Like, it's a lot less video gamey. It's a lot more simulation, which I think is awesome. But some people kind of want their NHL video gamey to stay video gamey. So it's a little bit controversial, too.
Yeah. So, Rich, you are obviously the most real NHL fan of the three of us.
Okay.
Question from at Real Jeff Solo. When will the NHL lockout end, and will your fandom survive?
Oh, my fandom will absolutely survive, but I'm not one of those guys. I've never been one of those guys who's like, that's it. I'm never returning. I'm never going back, you know, because of the strike. Because, I mean, there's been NFL.
There's been so many strikes.
There have been so many. Like, you know, I love professional sports, and the minute that they turn the lights back on, I'm there. But I also don't buy tickets anymore. I don't go to many major league events anymore. Those that I do, I tend to get tickets given to me. So whether they're playing or not, there's not a whole lot of my own money that I'm taking out of my wallet and giving to these leagues. You know, I buy, you know, I have the Comcast Digital Sports package, so I'm sure some of that money is making its way to the leagues, you know. And, you know, I buy the MLB.TV package. But, I mean, long story short, I'm not upset that there's a lockout right now. There's a lot going on in my life that I'm enjoying, you know, from video games to television. And, you know, I got two jobs and I have a family and a kid. So, like, you know, it's not like I'm sitting around clamoring for the NHL. On the other hand, the minute that they come back, you know, the games are on TV, I'm ready. Let's do it. So that's my attitude. And I get it. I think that a lot of teams in the NHL are losing money, and I have no problem with them trying to reset the finances. I also have no problem with the players not wanting them to reset the finances, because I get it from their perspective too. This is just, there's no bad or good in this situation. It's just unfortunate. I think if I had to pick it, I'm kind of calling it like when the NBA came back on Christmas Day. The NHL with their Winter Classic has quickly become the hallmark event of the NHL. I don't think it will get I don't think the lockout will end much before it, and I think there's a very good chance that the Winter Classic is the opening day of the NHL this year.
Which is on
January 1st. It's supposed to be at where the Michigan University of Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor. It's the Red Wings and the Blackhawks, I believe. I know it's the Red Wings. I think
it's in Michigan. It would have to be.
Is that the biggest stadium that Dome is at?
Oh yeah, this is over 100,000 there. I prefer the baseball stadium. It's just more of a unique and an intimate setting. They actually did the first one at the Buffalo Bills Stadium, which was like 70,000 or 80,000, and the ones after that have been at baseball stadiums, which have been much less people. But yeah, this will be over 100,000 people at this one.
Dan, you don't realize how small a hockey rink is until they put it inside a football field.
Yeah, like this is, you know, when they did it at Fenway and when they did it last year at Citizens Bank, like you could go to one of those buildings and watch the game and sort of have an idea what's going on. When you're sitting in a 100,000 plus seat stadium, no, there's no way you have any clue what's happening. You're just like, all right, I'm outside. There's hockey going on. Let's have a couple beers and have some fun.
All right. Also from Real Jeff Solo, does a lockout make you more or less interested in NHL video games? Scott Benz.
Does not change my interest level at all, one way or the other.
Scott, are you more interested in hockey video games than hockey itself?
Yes.
Scott, do you also agree we should abolish the NHL?
Wait, not hockey, not hockey. I'm more interested in NHL video games than I am the NHL.
I will say this. I'm very glad that we have the Triple Deke League, because with no NHL, it will definitely keep the NHL a little more in my consciousness, because I really enjoy the online leagues and I'm really having such a lot of fun with this. The fact that it's there is actually, I think, a good thing. It will actually probably make me miss it a little more than if we didn't have it, now that I'm thinking about it.
And I think that this GM Connected might be the best, at least first attempt, if not the best right now, way to do any sort of online league that we've seen so far.
It is really good.
Yeah.
And we haven't even done an advance of the week, but it's like the free agency, like AI is there. We can try and sign free agents right away because they might not sign with us. You know, we can't just rip them out of the, you know, just pick at will because, oh, hey, we're online right now.
Yeah.
They actually will have AI to determine whether or not they sign with us.
What'll be really interesting is there's not a whole lot of good free agents right now. It'll be really interesting how this all works, you know, next year when there's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 85-plus guys that are free agents.
Oh, I'm going to give them $130 million 44-year contracts. I'm sure that won't destroy the league or anything. I hope GM Connected is what goes into FIFA eventually and not CCM.
I will agree with that. But the thing is, I can see that the FIFA and NHL teams, they seem to work with each other a lot because the menus have been, well, they're kind of diverging now, but, you know, there's a lot of the same, I can see a lot of the same infrastructure there. In fact, when I did play the FIFA season ticket demo, like the title screens are the same thing. It's just replacing a soccer ball with a puck.
Yeah.
In a net.
But actually, I think the menu system in FIFA is actually semi-good this year, as compared to what it's been in the past. And yeah. I still don't know how to get half the stuff in NHL.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of layers of menu. Like, you open up the My NHL 13 menu, and it's, oh my god, there's so much stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like the biggest menu in the game, is the options.
Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, you reviewed NHL 13 for GamesRadar.
I did.
What did you give it?
Because
nobody cares about what you wrote in your article. They just want to know the number.
I gave it 4 out of 5. They recent any GamesRadar recently changed their scale from 10 to 5 stars, and I gave it 4 out of 5. The reason I didn't give it 5 out of 5 was because there's a whole lot more going on in the game that's really boring. The actual game on the ice itself, I think, is spectacular, and I said as much in the review that nobody reads. But what is boring in the game is, like, the Legends and the Be a Pro.
I like Be a Pro.
Yeah, but, I mean, Be a Pro is no different now than it has been in the last 3 or 4 years. And if you spent 30 or 40 hours...
They made a big change to it last year, actually.
Last year. I'm talking this year. Okay. Like, to me, there's no difference this year. And
last year to this year, I'll give you that.
Right. And I'm not even saying there needs to be and if you didn't play Be a Pro last year, then it's totally cool this year. But, again, for me, it just did not speak to me. And the other problem I have with NHL is that the Legends, the usage of the Legends is so poor and so dull compared to how Legends are done in, for example, NBA 2K12.
Even know that Wayne Gretzky is in the game unless you decided to go look into either you got his card in Ultimate Team if you're playing that, or you happen to go into the NHL Moments Live.
Right.
Yeah. How do you even do that now? Don't you just have to don't you play a season with him or something? I don't even know what happened anymore.
You have to unlock him to play a season with him, and you can't even do that until you go up the ladder, which is another problem that I had. Like, if you go into Be a Legend, the only guy you can be is Jeremy Roenick. There's 10 guys there, but you can only be Roenick. Only after you advance to certain levels, you have to get to performance levels of amateur and pro and so on, will you then unlock the guys. So you got to spend 10, 20, 30 hours in the game to be able to then unlock Wayne Gretzky to be able to use in the Be a Pro, which would then let you use him in the regular game. I just don't like any of that.
That's a lot of layers.
I paid $60 for this game. Wayne Gretzky is in the game. Dominic Hasek is in the game. It would be fun to try to be Dominic Hasek as a goaltender, and I can't because I got to go through all these hoops. I hate that. So that's where that missing star came from. It's almost like they did so much in the game, and some of the stuff that they did, I just don't like how they did it. But the underlying game itself, on the ice, I'll be playing this game, for as a long, long, long time, especially again because of our league, because it's so good, it feels so right. It's frustrating in all the good ways. Like when you watch a real NHL game, you get frustrated because you got to remember they're on razor blades on ice. Like, it's not guys running around on sneakers on turf. It's very, very, very difficult to do what they do.
Yeah,
and so you're gonna have 2, 3, 4 minutes where there's not good flow to the action, or where not every pass connects and stuff like that. So,
my one knock for the game so far is the menus in GM Connected seem to take forever to load and are very laggy.
Yes, they are, because they're always reaching out to the internet. That was something else that I mentioned in my review, and there was actually a patch that came out in the last few days, which. One of the things that patch was supposed to do is to try to speed them up. I have not seen that.
So you're saying they were worse?
I'm saying they were definitely worse. But I haven't personally seen the improvement, but I haven't looked very hard. But it's clearly something that the team is at least aware of to try to fix it. But yeah, that is it's a problem. You don't want to sit there for 5 to 10 seconds between each menu. That just gets really annoying.
Yeah.
I've felt like every EA Sports game this year so far has been just always connecting to servers. You click one thing, connecting to servers.
God,
Madden's connecting to servers. Hold on, we got a roster update for you.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Pick your save. pick your save location.
Let's one of these days. Again.
Oh, and by the way, in case you're looking for franchise mode,
would you like to take a survey?
Yeah. I mean, oh, one
okay,
of these...
yes, I would like to take a survey. Oh, we can't give you the survey.
One of these days, I'm going to like just record the whole boot up for Madden and time it. It is infuriating.
Oh my
Especially
God.
For me, since I have a 4 gig Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I
me
put
too.
The bigger hard drive in it. And I keep all my stuff on a flash drive because I have two Xboxes. So in case I want to switch between the two. Mm-hmm. So no matter what game I put in, it always asks me what thing I want to load the saves from. That takes time. And it's just frustrating. Especially since the 4 gig, there was like no way I could not have the other hard drive in it. So I'm going to get that all the time.
I mean, here's another just silly example of how frustrating it is. You guys are both in the fourth string league.
Yep.
Correct.
And Mike Susick sent out an email a few days ago saying everybody in the league has to go do this thing. You got to set your roster autofill
Yeah.
Right? So I was in Minneapolis for a couple of days this week, and then I got home, you know, at like 3 in the morning. The next day I had to get up and go to New York City. So, like, I get home, and it's like, all right, I just got to do this one thing. I've needed to do it for 3 days.
Yeah.
And doing that one thing took me like 9 minutes because of all those stupid loading. Like, oh, okay, let's load the Ultimate Team servers. All right, let's connect to the EA servers. All right, let's download the latest EA news. Oh, let's see. You got to download the latest roster. It's infuriating when all you have to do is one thing that should have taken me 30 seconds, almost 10 minutes.
Has there been a tuner set for Madden yet?
No. Nope.
Like one, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's been like three for NHL, I think.
Yeah, there was a new one today, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe yesterday. I don't know. I booted up the game today and it said tuner update. Oh, cool.
Rich, you know what you should have done? You should just went online and used the MaddenCareer.com because I'm pretty sure you can do anything on that site.
Really?
If by anything you mean sign up to get text messages to your phone.
I believe you can look at your roster. Maybe. Everything
yes,
else.
Yes, but not in any organized fashion.
There's a guy over here. There's a guy over there. Hey, look.
And by coming, soon, they mean Madden 14.
Look, I'm not going to disagree with that. All right. Let's talk since, I guess, when this comes out, the FIFA 13 season ticket preview will be over. So that kind of sucks. But have you guys been playing?
I played a game of FIFA with the season ticket, and it is an excellent game. And that's where I'm going to end my FIFA discussion, unfortunately.
Are you going to say FIFA 12.5, Scott?
No, I am not going to say FIFA 12.5.
Good.
I'm going to say that I didn't play enough FIFA to really judge it accurately. And honestly, but it didn't grab me enough that I wanted to play more. It just felt like more FIFA. I'm not saying that I couldn't see that there were a lot of good improvements. I'm just saying they didn't grab me, and I just wanted to go back and play more NHL, which maybe speaks more to NHL than it does to speaks more good for NHL than it does bad for FIFA. I'm also going to say that I'm going to let you two go ahead and talk about FIFA, and I'm going to go to bed.
I did not do the review for FIFA this year. For Games Radar, I have done FIFA reviews in the past, but I am glad that I'm not doing the review for FIFA because I don't think I'm no longer even qualified to do that. It is such a hardcore football fans game now that, you know, I'm playing FIFA 12, or I'm sorry, I'm playing FIFA on the Vita, which is really FIFA 12. A lot lately, and it is really just kicking my butt because it is very much the regular FIFA game. There's just so much going on. There's so much happening, and then this year with all the new first touch controls, for example, those kinds of things really just getting layered onto it. Very long-winded way of saying I'm glad that I'm not reviewing it because I don't even know how I would go about reviewing this game at this time. There's just it's so big and so so geared towards the people who understand so much more about soccer than I do. Which, again, it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. You know, I mean, I've seen some of the early reviews off of Metacritic, and they are all in the 90s, you know. Mm-hmm. So clearly the target audience is being very well served with FIFA.
Yeah, I've been playing a bunch of pro clubs, which is increasingly my favorite part of FIFA every year.
Right.
Especially since they added in the ability to filter out teams that use the any position.
Right. Which has always been a bugaboo of yours. I know that.
Oh my God. I hate it so much. I'm so happy they took it out. But yeah, we have a team and it's just a lot better. Shooting is really hard, but I think that might just be because we're still so low rated because of the new game and everything. Let's see what else. Ultimate Team. I love Ultimate Team.
But I mean, I'm just starting to figure out Ultimate Team and Madden. Talk about something where I would be lost. Oh, my Lord.
Listen, here's the thing. Madden Ultimate Team sucks. That's the problem. FIFA Ultimate Team is the best.
Why is that? Why is it better than Madden Ultimate
Team? So, like, in Madden, you get, like, one team, right? And then, first off, that whole redeeming collection things is stupid. They don't have that in FIFA. And in Madden, you just get, like, that one team that you can do all your stuff to.
Right.
FIFA, you can have, like, multiple squads. So you can have an all-English Premier League squad, an all-Italian player squad, an all-silver-rated card team. And then, so, like, in Madden, how you play, like, through the weeks. Like, you can play, like, a team season through each week.
Right.
FIFA, you get tournaments. They have tournaments or they have seasons. The tournaments are usually, like, play with all your players from one league or a minimum of three players from three different leagues. So it's always giving you something to do. You're never just using the same team, just trying to go out there and beat everybody. You're always like, oh, well, I have 8 good Italian players. Can I find 3 more so I have enough to make the minimum requirement for this game? So you always find yourself adding more guys. And just because I kind of get tired of, in Madden, I've gotten to the point where guys are starting to like run out of contracts.
Right.
And I'm really not interested in like, all right, now I got to go find a new contract card. Or I have to go in, take him out, put him on my reserve, then go back to the reserve menu, find someone else to put back in his spot. And I just don't like the way Madden does it.
This is probably a great point to mention that Hockey Ultimate Team in NHL, they eliminated contracts.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Even though I've spent very little time in NHL playing Ultimate Team, it's one of those things where, like, just like in Madden, it took me a few weeks before I started dabbling in Ultimate Team, and now I'm doing a little more than dabbling. I can kind of see myself doing the same thing in NHL. Maybe just starting up an Ultimate Team and seeing how it goes.
And I think NHL even gives you the multiple squads.
Well, it should, because the universe of players is international. You know, you've got not just NHL players, you got players from all the European leagues and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, and I think in their seasons, there's specific requirements for certain seasons where it'll be like have a team of 10 international players or stuff like that.
It's very difficult, though. I gotta say, like, in both FIFA and in NHL, because there are so many international players with you know, names that are very not American names, I get lost as to who's who and what's what. You know, just, you know,
yeah.
I'm not sure, you know, how many Igor Nigasanovs. Wait, is that, which Igor Nigasanov is that? Is that a good one or is that not a good one? I can't even tell anymore because there's like 5 of those guys.
And it's funny because that's exactly the same way FIFA is sometimes.
Right. I imagine it is because it's the same, you know, international group of players from every country on the globe.
I think last year there were 4 different goalies named Julio Cesar. There was a gold one, a silver one, and I think 2 bronze ones. And maybe they were all from Brazil.
Now, I think I know the answer, but what is the difference between a gold and a silver and a bronze guy anyway? Is it just that some guys are better than others, or the card color also mean something else.
Yeah, it's just based on their ratings.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, anybody over a 75 is gold.
But there's gold, you don't get gold guys for longer contracts or something like that, right?
Not for the player cards, but there's also bronze, silver, and gold contracts. And those will be, like, a bronze contract will give, like, plus 4 games to a bronze and plus 2 games for a gold and a silver. And a silver, I think, will give, like, 10 games to a silver.
Right.
And the gold will give, like, I think, might be, if you, a gold contract might give, like, 24 games to a gold and, like, 12 or 14 to the other ones. And also, like, there's the injury cards. Like, a bronze injury card will only be for, like, 1 or 2 games, and the silver will be for 2 or 3, and the gold will be for, like, 5.
It's all very confusing.
I think once you just dive in, you just got to dive in.
Give yourself I know. Like, I've done, you know, it's so funny. Right before we recorded the show, I was on Xbox Live. I was doing a practice for my 4th string. We were getting ready to do our NHL game, but we did this first, and we'll be playing that in a minute. And Aussie Chris Schofield, you know, the legend, was online, and he and I were actually chatting, and he gave me, because, like, I've been playing Ultimate Team, as I mentioned last time I was on the show. Like, there's so much more about it that I don't get than I do get. And he just gave me probably a 15-minute sort of tutorial, so to speak, on it, which was brilliant. Like, there needs to be, and there probably is, and I just haven't taken the time to go on the web and find it, but there needs to be, you know, a 15-minute YouTube video or something that just says, here's the way to play Madden Ultimate Team. Here's what all this stuff means. Here's some simple strategies that you can use. Here are the basics. And he kind of just went through that. And there's a lot that I knew, but there was a lot that I didn't know too. And sounds like Ultimate Team in FIFA and NHL the same way. Like, it's really cool if you dive in, but if you don't know a couple, 2 or 3 things, you're actually missing out on some stuff too.
Yeah, and then if you kind of go half in on it, it's like you start. The big thing, I think, is once you get past that first crop of guys, is contracts expiring.
Right.
Because I think once that happens, it's either you're at the point where you know what you're going to do when that happens, or you pretty much just give up. Because that's when they want you to break out your credit card.
I was just going to say, that's when you're like, all right, I'm enjoying this, and I'm willing to pay more money for this that I've already spent $60 for, or I'm just going to go do something else. And that's where, like, it's great that we have our online leagues, because that gives the game in and of itself a lot of value. Like, the guys that I think spend a lot of money in Ultimate Team probably just have Ultimate Team and don't do anything else.
Yes. First-hand experience speaking from FIFA last year. But this year, I've cut no more money into FIFA. Cold turkey.
So you've played how many games of FIFA 13 so far?
In pro clubs, I think like 10, and then 2 or 3 Ultimate Team games.
So what are the 2 or 3 things that you notice that are the most different this year versus last year?
That whole first ball, first touch thing is very, that's going to be tough to get used to.
And basically, if I understand this right, but, you know, it just means it's harder to keep the ball moving, right? Because you pass it to a guy, and for lack of a better term, a lot of the times you pass it to him, and he gets it, and he just keeps moving the ball forward. Now it's like you pass it to him, and he might not even get it.
It hits him, and then it bounces somewhere weird.
Right.
Like, we had a couple issues where I was playing striker with another computer striker, and my friend was playing center midfield, and for some reason he would pass it to the computer striker, but the computer striker wouldn't really know what's going on, so it would bounce off him back to my friend.
So is first touch more realistic?
I think so,
but it less fun, or is it more realistic and more fun once you just sort of understand how it influences the game?
I think it's more fun. They just have to tweak it just a little bit.
Okay.
Because in the past, you'd get a header and you'd have it. If you won the header, you have the ball, and it's on your foot. And now it's, you win a header, it might be like 7-8 feet out there, and now you have to go run to the ball and get it. So there's more of a chance of the defense stealing it from you.
Because like in NHL, the new skating engine makes it more realistic and I think more fun, but it takes some getting used to because you can't just turn on a dime. You have to do it the right way and you have to understand what it means. You know, if you're attacking full force and then the puck gets behind you, well, you know, you just gave up an opportunity. But a lot of people don't think that is more fun. So, you know.
Yeah, I can see a lot of people saying that's not as fun.
Right. They're saying it's more realistic, but it's less fun. And I get that. I don't agree, but I get that. And that's why I'm kind of wondering, you know, it sounds like First Touch falls in the same camp. Some people will love it. Some people will hate it.
Yeah, I think it's almost there. I think they just have to tweak it just a hair so that the ball doesn't bounce as far on a crazy one.
Gotcha.
And
a lot of it is dependent upon how good your guy is, too. Like, if you got a super good guy, he'll still gather it in pretty well, right, if I understand that properly?
Yeah. And a couple of things that have been, like, really stood out, at least in pro clubs, the computer plays a lot better. Like, I could probably count on my hands how many times a computer player passed it to a computer player and scored a goal last year. Like, barely ever happened. And then we were playing a game this morning and we saw a computer player in the midfield do an over-the-top through ball to another computer player who scored. It literally blew our minds. Wow. I don't think we have ever seen that before.
Cool.
The only thing is they still gotta tweak the physics engine a little bit with the fouls. Because I was about to take a shot in the box and I got destroyed. And they called nothing. Dude took me out because the ball just kept rolling straight.
Wow.
But then later, the computer was coming in to score. And one of our computer defenders went over there, looked at him a little cross-eyed. Penalty kick.
Wow.
I was like, oh, this still has a little bit to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mad because my friend Jeff, sometimes co-host on this show, he just got one of the Elgato game capture units.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll put more videos of that stuff up. But he didn't have it in for that.
Mm.
So it was really bad. We've been getting a couple plays where we get blown up and there's no card or no foul even called. And then there'll be like a little bump and it's a yellow card.
Hmm. Of course, that's also like real soccer too, right?
Yeah. So it is accurate. But. Let's see. Yeah, I hope I think FIFA is going to be good.
It's certainly getting some very high review scores from a lot of places.
Yeah, I think it made a lot of the right changes for this year. There was a couple problems last year that, like the physics from last year, kind of screwed up a lot of stuff. But hopefully that's getting fixed. Now, let me see where FIFA 12 fell. So FIFA 11 was my first FIFA game. Like, in a long time. I think I played in like 04, 05, but I never really played again till 2010, South Africa World Cup game.
Which was a great game.
And then FIFA 11, I put 513 hours into, according to Raptor. And then FIFA 12, only like 300 and something.
Slacker.
No, I think just the game just wasn't as good. What's this one? Madden, 30 hours already for this year. Pretty good, but I don't know. I could see myself doing a couple hundred hours of FIFA 13. Are you going to get it? The actual?
Oh, I'm absolutely getting it.
All right,
totally. I can't wait. I'm my only concern is that it's just like FIFA 12. I bought it last year, and when you've got NBA, NHL, Madden. You know, FIFA will suffer, and I did not play nearly as much FIFA as I feel like I should have for a game that I spent $60 for. When I did play it, I was enjoying it. Sometimes, whenever I played it online against people I know, I always enjoyed that. Like Cat Bailey and I had several terrific games. I did some My Player stuff, which was okay. I don't like just being one guy on the field as much as the more traditional mode.
Mm-hmm.
The menus baffled me. I was never really sure exactly what to do. And like when I did the My Manager mode, like my I'm so just not in touch with players and leagues and things like that. Like I was just kind of out of sorts. Like I didn't really know what to do during transfer windows and things like that. You know, roster. I'm already bad at roster management and sports I know well. Get me managing a roster or a sport I don't know well. I'm lost. So there's a lot of that that just really kind of kept me from diving deeper into it. And it sounds like, frankly, I probably didn't play the right modes for somebody like me. It sounds like I should have been with you in the pro clubs, and I probably would have had a lot more fun.
Yeah, for me in FIFA and NHL, it's all about those. I think it's all about online multiplayer with friends. If you don't have that, I feel like those games for me are pointless.
But I mean, for years, I've always loved offline franchise, and I still do. Like I love the fourth string leagues and the triple deke leagues, I also enjoy just playing offline. Now, granted, a lot of that's because I like just to, you know, when I exercise, you know, that's what I like to play. But I still want that mode to be fun for single player. And for me, I just, again, it's me. It's not the game. It's me. But I'm just so unfamiliar with the basics of how to operate a, you know, Premier League soccer team that I just, like, I can't just play the games. Or, you know, because if I just play the games, I like even substitutions, right? I'm not even good with that. Like, I don't know when to substitute, who to substitute, how to manage what guys should be on the game day roster and shit. Like, all that stuff I'm just out of sorts with.
Yeah, like, sometimes I hit those buttons in NHL to, like, change lines.
Yeah.
And I get so terrified because I have no idea how to get out of it, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
You know, it's funny. years ago, when I was playing NHL games, I would always control my lines. Like, I would... Okay, this is, you know, I would call my line changes on the fly, you know, and I would do all of that stuff. It was just really good in, like, the ESPN NHL hockey games. But in the last few years, I've gotten away from that, and I just kind of let the computer just, you know, do all of that stuff.
Yeah. I can't do that stuff. That's why I would play a little bit of that career mode stuff in FIFA. And I was like, I would rather just go play Ultimate Team. If I'm going to manage a team, I'd rather it be of all good players rather than have to really worry about, like, these low guys that are just taking up roster spots. And
yeah, no, that's what I mean. There's just, like, I can see how it's awesome, but I'm not qualified to do this. I don't know what to do. I just really don't know what to do.
All right. I think that's good.
Me too. This was fun. Again.
Whoa. Doesn't mean we're done. We still have a Twitter question from @ChrisMonty.
I love that guy.
How big a win was it for Rutgers to beat Arkansas on the road tonight?
They beat Arkansas on the road tonight?
That is correct. This is the first time Rutgers has started 4-0 since 2006.
Well, beating an SEC team on the road is a big deal. Unfortunately, Arkansas... This was not the year to get nearly as much out of it. Arkansas lost 52-0 to Alabama last week. They lost at home to Louisiana Monroe the week before that.
Yeah, that Louisiana Monroe team is actually kind of good.
Oh, they are.
Did they beat Baylor? Or
I don't know if they beat them. They were playing them tough. I don't know if they beat them, though. But, yeah, they're not a joke.
No, they lost 47-42. Pretty close.
No, but it's good. I mean, Arkansas is struggling. Obviously, their coaching situation is a nightmare with the guy getting fired for being on a motorcycle with a woman who is not his wife. And, you know, so they're a mess. But they're still loaded. I mean, they were preseason top five team. You know, I mean, they're loaded with terrific athletes. They're just not being managed very well right now. So, you know, it's certainly better for Rutgers to beat them than to lose to them. And again, beating an SEC team on the road for Rutgers, even if it's Vanderbilt, that's good. It's a big win, no doubt.
All right. Then @Acropop says, what does KYP mean in Madden CCM tweets? Says the tweet just says KYP Titans. I have no idea what that means.
I have no idea what that means either.
Also, I kind of hate those CCM tweets.
Going
through real Twitter.
You are removing them from your tweet feed, correct?
Yep, those are gone. Because I'm pretty sure once all these Twitter accounts start retweeting each other's fake Twitter account, that's how the Matrix starts. And then humans are no longer necessary. But actually, at Acropop and at Ryan the Lou won copies of Pro Evolution Soccer 2012.
Yeah, and at Rich Grisham did not, and at Rich Grisham is not so happy about that.
Don't worry, Rich. We have a PS3 and Xbox version of the Squid Grip. I don't know if you've heard of this. Pretty awesome little controller. Like, it's a... How do I describe this thing? It is a sticky thing that you put on your controller for superior grip, wicks away sweat, and it's antimicrobial.
Well, for somebody who plays games on a treadmill every day, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that actually would be pretty good for you. You still have to put that video up of you on the treadmill.
Yeah, I got to make that video first.
Yeah. It's actually good because it's got a little squish to it, and you know those Xbox and PlayStation controllers are so hard.
Yes.
Sometimes you just want a little bit of softness on it.
A little bit of give.
And then hopefully next week I'll have, I believe it's a PS3 and an Xbox 360 copy of Pro Evo 2013 to give away.
Yeah, which is something that no one's really talking about, but I'm actually looking forward to checking that game out and kind of juxtaposing that to FIFA 13 because it's supposedly on a bit of a rebound. Yeah. Although I don't know that anybody's saying it's as good as FIFA 13, but supposedly it's got something going on this year.
Yeah, I think the big problem with that game is still the licenses.
Oh yeah, but
yeah. And I think that's
it for didn't
the
stop
majority
before,
of people.
Though.
I think it's going to stop a lot of people right there.
Yeah, but it didn't stop it before because when PES was on top of FIFA, FIFA still had the licenses and PES didn't. So, I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not saying that, but you know, I think if the underlying gameplay is really, really good, people will play that and buy that game.
Yeah. So with that, if you want to play games with me and Rich, you can go to thatsportsgamer.com/leagues and sign up for something over there. We got spots in NHL if you just want to hop in.
That's right. We got, what, 6 or 7 of us,
yeah,
which is fun because
well,
we get to play.
Like 9.
We get to play each other, but then you also get to play a few games against the computer, too. It's really cool. I kind of like that. Like, it's fun in the fourth string and at Madden League when it's, all the teams are human-controlled. It's also kind of fun being in a league where you can play the computer sometimes, too. It's cool.
Yeah, and you got to be like, oh, every game I have to go, I got to email this dude.
Right.
And he's got to email me back. And then it's like, oh, we're going to advance soon. We got to get this game in.
And by the way, playing the computer is no guarantee of a win. I had a 2-0 lead against the computer in my very first game and wound up losing. Then I had a 2-0 game in my second game, and I'm talking in our Triple D league, and I won it. So I'm 1-1 against the computer right now.
I still don't have a win, which is why I'm hoping to beat you tonight.
You will not beat me tonight.
Let's see what else. You can follow me on Twitter at ThatSportsGamer. Rich Grisham, where are you on Twitter?
I am at Rich Grisham.
Interesting. It's a good name. Where'd you come up with that one?
I actually started with my parents.
Good people. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThatSportsGamer. Rich, are you on Facebook?
I am. But,
actually, you are.
I am, but I'm not really a Facebook guy. I'm there, but I don't really do anything on Facebook.
Go like Games Radar.
I'm a Twitter guy. That's my thing.
And also the great Box Score podcast.
Well, thank you.
When's that coming out again? Because I love that stuff.
You should. This week we will have a interview with the great Gus Ramsey from ESPN. We talk for an hour and a half about Madden NFL 13, the experience that he's having, and just sort of like, you know, the perspective of Madden NFL 13 from somebody who loves the game but isn't... It's weird, but someone who loves the game but is not a hardcore Madden gamer, if that makes sense. So he's a lot of fun to talk to. Great, great guy.
I've actually been seeing a lot more tweets from him recently.
Oh, he's a Twitter monster. He's all over it.
He's been having a lot of good ones that I've been retweeting recently. I don't know why.
He's great. Gus Ramsey is great, and it's a thrill for me to be able to talk to him. He is terrific.
Let's see what else we got here. Extra Life. Don't forget about that. ThatSportsGamer.com/charity. And if you can't play with us and join the TSG crew, you can always donate to our cause.
That's right. Do it.
That's going to be fun. I'm expecting to do some streaming video stuff. Maybe we'll give some stuff away. We'll see what we got by then. That should be fun. There was one more thing. Oh, yes, Rich. I don't understand. You use this ESPN.com, right?
Oh, yeah.
Why have you not gone to bit.ly/whoyougotNFL?
I don't have a good reason for that.
Listen,
other than I didn't know it existed.
If you go to youtube.com/thatsportsgamer, there's a weekly show where myself and other people
meet. I see you doing that. Yeah.
Mexican pickups right there. Some good, fun stuff.
Yeah.
Had Scott on a couple times. Scott's got really terrible video quality.
So oh,
don't hold that against us. But it's a good show. I highly recommend that.
All right.
I got a couple.
Yeah, I do. A couple more things real quick. Number one, the four-string weekly thrill ride season 3 should be coming back soon. The crew's been taking a little bit of a break.
Oh, I've been wondering why that hasn't been in my iTunes.
Yeah, it's you know, between what Mike Suzek has going on with his joystick and doing reviews and trying to commission, you know, be the commissioner of the four-string Madden League, that's been a lot of time. I've obviously been on the road quite a bit the last few weeks, and Ryan DeLue has been spending a lot of time getting the four-string league's site going, and Todd Zuniga continues to be traveling the world with his literary death match. But anyway, long story short, season 3 of the Thrill Ride will be starting soon, hopefully as soon as next week. And I'm also proud to announce the start of a brand new show hosted on Operation Sports. It is called the Press Row Podcast. It stars Owen Good from Kotaku, Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, Steve Noah from Operation Sports, myself, and on our next episode, in addition to those four, we will very likely have Mike Suzek from Joystick. It is a panel discussion from professional sports video game writers about sports video games news of the day. Episode 1 is available. Go to Operation Sports, look for that. It's also should now be on iTunes, and we have been officially picked up for a full season. I'm very excited about that, and we'll be doing it every 2 weeks. It's called the Press Row Podcast through Operation Sports. Very excited.
I don't know if you can actually hear me typing, but I'm now subscribed to Press Row Podcast.
You are awesome.
I was literally waiting for it to come onto iTunes, even though I had already downloaded it once, put it on my iPod. I didn't look at it because I didn't think to leave my podcast area.
Yeah, the first episode was a little stiff, a little rough. We were just kind of trying to find our way. We're looking forward to, now that we know it's going to be a regular kind of every 2 week thing, we'll get a little more comfortable with each other. We're looking forward to it. But these are the biggest names in sports video game journalism. I mean, Owen Good is Stick Jockey is a must read. Sumit Sarkar is a young gun, but Polygon is a big time site. You know, Mike Suzek is now the sports game guy for Joystick. I've been doing Games Radar Sports for 8 years now, which is crazy. And Steve Noah is the co-owner of Operation Sports, which is, you know, the de facto, you know, sports video game community site. And our first episode has already been downloaded 25,000 times.
25,001.
25,001. So it's something really exciting, and we're looking forward to having fun with it. And it's not, you know, it's not the Thrill Ride. It's not that sports gamer show. It's kind of a different thing, and meant to complement those and, you know, just really have some fun, but also have some serious discussion about stuff. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, essentially the whole list of names you've read, including yours, those are the things that inspired me to make thatsportsgamer.com.
There you go.
And that's beautiful. Without the weekly Thrill Ride and the Anomaly, rest in peace, the That Sports Gamer show wouldn't exist either.
And nor would Box Score, right? And nor would Press Row. I mean, all of those, they are all spiritual successors to the Great Sports Anomaly, which started it all. No doubt.
All right. And if you haven't guessed, Scott has left us
a long time ago. Not permanently, of course, just for the show.
Scott's doing some good stuff over at Basement Gamer, where they actually play games in a basement.
They do.
And if you actually watched the last episode of Who You Got, he recorded from the basement. The literal basement from that place. I think that is going to wrap up what is, I'm going to guess, the longest episode of That Sports Gamer Show we've done today.
Yeah, wherever I go, these things drag on. I apologize.
It's funny because before you came on, I was like, we don't really have that much to talk about. Scott's like, oh, good, we won't be on long. I was like, no, I think we're going to be on really long.
If Rich is coming on, he's going to yammer on incoherently for a long time.
Rich is a great guest. I'd be like, hey, Rich, how you doing? 20 minutes later, I can say something else.
On behalf of myself, I apologize to the world.
All right. And for Scott and Rich, I'm TJ, and we'll see you again next week on That Sports Gamer Show.